There's the predictable, and then there's the shot from out of nowhere. Thinking back 12 months ago, those making predictions for 2013 could have safely noted climate change, Russia, China, instability in Europe, and the divided U.S. Congress as sources of risk last year. But who could have predicted a pope would step down for the first time in six centuries? His replacement would all but renounce capitalism? Or that some obscure government contractor would prove that the U.S. is using its technological edge to spy on virtually everyone in the world? Sorting out the safely predictable and the dangerously unpredictable and assessing risks for the coming year is Ian Bremmer, president and founder of Eurasia Group, a global political research and consulting firm which publishes a yearly list of the top risks to watch. Ian, welcome back to The Takeaway.
Great to see you. Happy New Year, sir.
When you're looking for risks to be concerned about in 2014, what kinds of things are you looking for?
We're looking for near-term. We're looking for large scale. We're looking for likelihood. So clearly, we know that the war in Syria is going to persist. But frankly, violence is likely to be less than we saw in 2013. It's certainly not considered strategically important by any of the major powers in the world. It's going to fall off that list. In fact, it's a red herring for 2014. The impact that the major players have, the impact that they can have, the world's largest economies, when they can change, are clearly the things that move the most.
All right. So the Middle East is certainly a place to watch, but you wouldn't say that it's a game changer for the entire world going forward.
No. In fact, one of the big issues we're going to see in 2014 is that oil prices are going down. That's true in part because despite violence in Libya and Iraq, their production is going to increase significantly in 2014. And we're going to see lots more coming on in the Western Hemisphere, particularly the U.S., where we're expecting a minimum of a million additional barrels a day. So the pressure on the Middle East is actually coming from increasingly low oil prices that are squeezing their economies even more than we've seen over past years. That's going to be hard on Egypt. It's going to be hard on Tunisia. It means that radicals across the region who say they're supporting the disenfranchised and greater sectarian fights are going to grow. But the interest of the United States and other major powers in playing a significant role in that part of the world is going down.
Declining oil will be hard on Putin, if not Russia, which is partly why Russia is on your list.
Well, it's clearly going to be hard on Russia. The question is how much Putin cares, right? I mean, a lot of people have said that 2013 was a great year for Putin, and he's hosting Sochi. He's going to be the president of the G8 this year. He's got the Syria deal under his belt. But the fact is that his economics are deteriorating significantly, and he's presently at his lowest levels of popularity since he was elected, quote unquote, in 2000. So Putin's a very capricious individual. He's certainly the world's most powerful person. In fact, the only person I could think of that's more powerful than he is Putin himself several years ago. And the willingness of Putin to do something destabilizing and volatile in his own country or on their borders is actually quite significant.
Of course, everybody watches the Middle East. Everybody watches China. And we'll talk about China in a moment. Turkey and Brazil are interesting cases in point for different kinds of reasons.
For very different reasons. I mean, a lot of emerging markets are becoming more risky in 2014. And in part, that's true because every one of them that's significant, that's having, that could have elections in 2014, is having an election. China doesn't have them. Russia doesn't have real elections. But all the rest of them are. Turkey's and Brazil's are going to be interesting in very different reasons. Dilma Rousseff in Brazil is heavily favored to win, will win easily. She's not going to support big reforms in that country, but she is going to be more fiscally conservative, and the markets will gradually move back to what is a stabilizing Brazil story as we get towards the end of 2014. That is not the case in Turkey at all. The geopolitics of the region are turning against them. They were much more favorable. Their ability to cut deals internally with the rest of Kurds becoming much more problematic. And Erdogan wants to be like Putin, but his political institutions are not sufficiently pliable to his will to allow that. And so what we're going to see is that the willingness of the international community to say Turkey's not a good story, despite all the education, despite all the competence in the business community, despite the credibility of the technocrats, Turkey's going to have a very rough, decidedly rough 2014.
And they're in a tough neighborhood, that's for sure. Okay, what about China?
Well, I think China's interesting because they are actually, for the first time, starting real reform. Right? We've seen more reform in Xi Jinping's first 6 months than we'd seen in the previous 20 years. We should believe in that. That's true structurally in terms of new political institutions put in place, like the National Security Council. It's true in terms of economic reforms, anti-corruption measures, financial reforms, the free trade zone they've developed in Shanghai. But these things to be implemented, they're necessary. We've been saying they're necessary for years and years and years, but they're also dangerous because they create losers, internal losers. I mean, real anti-corruption goes after entrenched individuals that have real power in China. All of this means that for the first time in a long time, there's actual risk of instability within China as these reforms engage, and also risks externally because the willingness of this Chinese government to try to channel discontent at external problems, particularly Japan. There's no question in my mind that 2014, the single most important geopolitical bilateral conflict in the world is China-Japan.
Wow. Iran, wild card or beacon of hope?
2014 is the year of reckoning. We either get a real comprehensive deal done or we don't, or we fail. But if a deal doesn't happen, the Iranians are then moving fast towards nuclear capacity. They're about 2 months away from breakout nuclear capability at that point. So the choice that has to be made by the international community, what do you do in that environment? Do you go with a real harder line? Would you even consider military strikes? Those questions all get resolved in the next 8 months.
We saw Snowden last year come out of nowhere and transform the national security game. Do you see anything like that happening? Do you see anything in U.S. domestic politics changing the game in 2014?
I'll say very clearly, in 2013, our list was fantastic and, in my view, pretty prescient. We kept it online all year. Snowden came from nowhere. I mean, even once Snowden happened, I was quite surprised with the extent of the damage that could be caused by one individual and his ability to collect data. It'll be interesting to what extent we continue to believe at the end of 2014 it was one individual. I don't see much happening domestically in the U.S. because the stability is there, the growth is picking up. What I think will happen, in part because of Snowden but for other reasons too, is the impact of U.S. foreign policy is going to be much greater on other countries around the world. And the absence of perceived American leadership, the absence of America's willingness to follow through on commitments to its allies, and the absent American interest in playing the role of not only a global policeman, but, as we see, the U.S. is even less popular as a global private investigator than it has been historically as a global policeman.
Talking to Ian Bremmer, president and founder of Eurasia Group, a global political risk research and consulting firm. I think of you as kind of the original running with scissors in geopolitics guy. You're the guy who says, be careful with that 2014. Here's what can hurt you. Here's the thing. Here's the stuff that's gonna be unsafe about this perfectly fine year that we've got going here. Do you only see the downside?
Oh, absolutely not. Plenty of upside. What's interesting about 2014, for the last 5 years, the biggest worries in the world have largely been economic. They've been, U.S. debt limit, financial crisis, Japan debt issues, Eurozone falling apart, hard landing in China. 2014, most of those economic risks are really off the table. But the political risks, the geopolitics are very much in play in 2014. So it's a real shift in the way we think about what are the kinds of things that are going to make running with those scissors a little sharper and more painful for us.
Well, if somebody puts their eye out, another Snowden, an outlier that we haven't predicted in this list, we'll give you a call.
Please do, sir.
All right. The Ian Bremmer, president and founder of Eurasia Group. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.